Wonderful service we had on Friday. Great youth rally. Great music. Wonderful preaching. And it was very, very good. Amen. This morning, I knew Brother BJ has been quite stretched out in his work. So I texted him this morning and told him I'd be glad to teach this morning. So when that was kind of confirmed, I kind of was kind of aiming at teaching the next lesson in the series that they've been covering. And it's a great lesson. It really echoes what Brother Stewart preached on Friday night. And but I've kind of felt this in my heart for the past few weeks, and it's more of a lesson, so I thought I would take this opportunity and teach this. And essentially, the title of my lesson is in the form of a question to myself. Do I love the truth? Do I love the truth? You know, there are a lot of things that we may say, but it's much harder to do. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, there should be one next to all of you if you need some notes to read. I think we still have a few left. Is that right? No, all of them are out. Oh, does everybody have one right now? Okay, there you go. Well, very good. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul is diagnosing the current situation of that day, and we see that it is no less real and true today. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." The mystery of iniquity, you see it first uncovered in immediately after the fall, and Adam and Eve are expelled from the garden. They have two sons, Cain and Abel. That's their names, right? I'm terrible with names. Cain and Abel. And you see in bright detail what the mystery of iniquity is. Iniquity is self, the preference of self, the preserving of self, the justification of self, self. And you see this in Cain and Abel, in that contrast between the two. Cain was a worshiper of God. Cain believed in God. Cain made a sacrifice to God. However, the Bible says the Lord rejected Cain's offering, did not... And he told, the Lord spoke to Cain and said, "If you do well, you will be accepted." And even though he was a believer in God, he had faith in God, he was a worshiper of God, he made offering to God, his response to the Lord's rejection of his worship was to kill his brother whose worship was accepted. The mystery of iniquity doth work. There's an enmity between iniquity and pure worship. Iniquity will always seek to silence and to persecute sincerity. And so that is the spirit of iniquity. And if you look at verse 8, it's speaking to the coming of the Lord. The only thing that's keeping evil at some bay, no doubt evil is at work, but the grace of God that is in the world because of the church, and the church is in the world because of grace, at some point the church is going to be taken out of the world, whether that's before the tribulation, the mid-tribulation, the post-tribulation. Whenever that happens, you're going to need a whole lot of God. You're going to need just as much God to go up in the air in a moment than it will be to endure some form of persecution that comes on the world. There's persecution happening now. whenever that happens, they call it pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. I have an opinion, I have a preference, but really I don't know that we will know definitively until we go up in the sky, right? We'll know all things that we need to know at that point. Right now, we see through a glass darkly, and we don't know the day or the hour of the coming of the Lord. But we see there's things happening right now in Israel. I know, unless you've been unplugged from news and media for the past few days, there's war in Israel right now. And it's the greatest attack on Israel in 50 years, since the Yom Kippur War, when Egypt and Syria and Iran all at one time put a surprise attack on Israel, and Israel defeated them against all odds. And right now, those that are attacking Israel, they are attacking Israel with the hope that the response of Israel to their attack will galvanize the Islamic world to declare war on Israel and gather them together. And forget the mantra, but basically to drive Israel into the sea and genocide. They want to kill the Jews, destroy the Jews from off the map. And so we know that Iran is supporting that. The Iranian government gathered together, and when this attack happened, there are videos where they're all raising their hands in their government building, all of their officials saying, "Death to Israel." I don't believe it's an accident that the America just gave Iran $6 billion who support the terrorist group that attacked Israel. They just did this. And the weapons they are using, it appears many of them are American-made weapons, probably Afghanistan, all those weapons that were left. And the Taliban in Afghanistan is requesting permission from Iran to cross their land and come fight against Israel. So I'm just saying to you, the mystery of iniquity is working, and it's going to work in a limited degree until the Lord says, "Okay, I'm going to quit restraining the iniquity, and the world is going to blow up until the final battle, Armageddon." We are on this side of the rapture, I hope. Right? Because if the rapture takes place and you're here, too late. There is no second chance. You're either going to go up in the rapture or you're going to perish with the wicked. So get ready, right? And I think the key to our being prepared for the coming of the Lord is to ask ourselves, challenge ourselves on this idea: do I love the truth? Do I love the truth? In verse 9, even him who's coming in after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because, what's it say? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. That word, they received not a love from the truth. They did not take up. They did not grant access. They did not show hospitality. They did not learn. They did not receive a love of the truth. An agape love, without question, believing wholeheartedly, completely. Because they did not receive a love, a learn, a desire for truth. Where did the delusion come from? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. What's verse 11 say? For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. In verse 12, that they might all be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Another version said that they may be judged, all who did not believe the truth, but were pleased in unrighteousness. It's so important for us to reaffirm our commitment to the truth. Because we are living in a day where there is a lot of error, of deceit, of wickedness. Ephesians 4 and verse 14 says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried away, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, say that with me, speaking the truth in love. I've heard people that spoke the truth, but there was no love. I've heard people use love like a hammer, right? Use love like a gun, right? You're going to hell, and I'm glad, right? It's key that we understand truth by its nature is love. And so we have to love the truth, but we must recognize that the power of the truth in its reception is we must speak it in love. Ultimately, we're speaking truth in the Spirit, and the Spirit is love, right? It's from a burden. It's from a compassion. It's from a sincere desire to see people saved. And the Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. The Bible says a fitly spoken word is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. It is so important that when we speak the truth, that our desire is to speak it in wisdom, to speak it in a degree and a manner that the Lord gives us, that we are compassionate, because there's a lot of people that truly believe they love Jesus. In fact, they may truly love Jesus, but at this point they have an inaccurate or incomplete understanding of what Jesus is, who Jesus is, and what Jesus expects from them. You say, well, how could someone have an inaccurate view of Jesus or not know what Jesus expects from them? Well, truth is a progression. We grow in truth. How many of you remember when you knew less of the Word of God than you know now? Right? And if we grow as the Lord desires us to grow, we'll know more about the truth next month than we'll know about the truth today. Right? It's an evolving experience. Now we are very thankful for the fact that the Lord has blessed us to hear very distinct and vital parts of truth that brings us to a biblical understanding and a biblical experience of salvation. And I do believe that what we believe that is unique to us as apostolics is we believe what the Bible says about salvation. Tradition, denominations, various teachings outside and contrary to Scripture, people believe that instead of Scripture. You know, the question I've heard other people ask is that, you know, if there's one Bible and one God, why are there so many different churches? And the simple answer to that is that we have a lot of people that have different opinions about what the Bible says. And so people are taught what someone else believes about the Bible rather than being taught what the Bible actually says. I had a conversation with a young seminarian. It's his senior year at a seminary over here in Clinton, Jackson. And he asked me, I don't really know much about Pentecostalism. You know, what's the difference between that and Presbyterianism? I said, well, there's probably a lot of little things, but the biggest thing is we do not value as a doctrinal quality of what you call historical Christianity. We believe that the Bible is the only authority, and we give no significant value on the reformers. We don't give them equal footing. If the Bible says it, And and Luther believes something and says something different than what the Bible says, well, Luther's wrong. If Calvin says something that's in contradiction to the Scripture, we believe the Scripture, we believe Calvin is wrong. And that's true for Catholicism, that's true for Seventh-day Adventists, that's true for Jehovah's Witness, that's true for every denomination. Anybody, whether historical or current, states something as truth that is in contradiction to what the Bible says, let God be true and every man, even me, if I teach something that is contrary to the Scripture, you must come to me in a spirit of meekness and instruct in me that I may, that even if I oppose myself against the truth and try to entreat me and say, hey, brother, what you're teaching isn't in the Bible. You come up and slap me upside the head, I may not receive that, right? You may not receive it. And so when you're dealing with people of different backgrounds, we have to understand people thoroughly and completely believe what they believe or they would not believe it, just like you and I. If there's something that you believe that isn't true, now I'm not saying that's the case, but how easy will it be for somebody to come talk you out of what you believe? Not very easy, right? Amen. We must love the truth. 1 Peter chapter 1 and beginning with verse 18. For as much as ye know that you have not been redeemed, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father. This is what we're fighting. Tradition that has been passed down from generations. It is these traditions. Peter is writing in a great degree, he's writing to the Gentiles, but in no less is he writing to the Jews. Jesus said that through your traditions, you have made the word of God of none effect. Modern day Jews, to a great degree, even those you see with the black hats and the curls, that they distinguish themselves not based on what the Scripture says, they distinguish themselves based on the rabbi in whom they honored their words over the other rabbis. Modern Jews, I don't know that it's 100%, but to a great degree, most of them do not believe in absolute truth. They believe the truth is found in the interpretation of the Scripture. I went to a seminary, many of you have heard this before, some of you haven't. Brother Jones and I went to a seminary here in town, and we took elementary Hebrew, like kindergarten, learn the letters, learn how to say the letters, learn how to put the letters together. It was about 6 months. And in that class, he and I were the only non-Jews. The rest of them were Jews trying to learn Hebrew. And the lady teaching us was a Hebrew, a Jew, that went to that synagogue and they worship on Saturday. And one lesson, before the lesson, they were talking about what the rabbi had spoke on that Sabbath. And it was about Abraham and Isaac. And he said, he said, that the reason why Isaac did not resist Abraham was because Isaac was a special needs individual. And so I heard that. I was like, excuse me? What did the rabbi say? That Isaac was a special needs individual. And I said, have you ever read the story? She said, what do you mean? I mean, like, read the story of Abraham and Isaac. Now, this is a 50-year-old Jewish lady. Now, that would almost be offensive to us. It'd be like, have you read Acts 2:38? Right? This is what the lady said. She said, well, I have to be honest. I have never read the story about Abraham and Isaac. She said, we call ourselves people of the book, but most of us have never read it. I spent 6 weeks to get that one revelation and a few others. But that is a verbalization of Jewish tradition. If I used to, at one time, if I heard a preacher preach, Jewish tradition says, I used to think, well, that's kind of interesting. But Jewish tradition is like Catholic tradition. Most of it is fallacious, and you can't believe it. You know what you can believe? Deuteronomy 6:4 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That's what the Bible says. And so regardless of Jewish tradition, Pentecostal tradition, Baptist tradition, Presbyterian tradition, you fill in the blank before tradition. If it's not in the Bible, it must be measured. It must be measured by the Bible. I believe the Lord speaks today. I saw someone that I'm friends with before Facebook, and I still appreciate him greatly. He's a good man. And he's quite the evangelist as the critic of his denomination. Oh, he's always just hammering his denomination. And he shared this article. Someone was being critical of people in his denomination. And in the message of the post was, God doesn't speak today except through the scripture. And I was like, okay. So I kind of responded. I said, you know, I appreciate kind of what he's saying. I said, but I believe the Lord still speaks today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Lord speaks in dreams. The Lord speaks in visions. I believe the Lord can still send angels. I believe everything you find in the scripture, the Lord can do that today and is doing that kind of thing today. Maybe not to me every day. It might happen to me a few times in my life. But the Lord still speaks. I believe the Lord speaks, is available to speak to me every day if I listen. And it may be just me opening up his word and reading it, but it's alive. He's still speaking to me through his word, but he's still speaking to us in the spirit. Amen? And I basically, you know, kind of took issue with the fact there are some people, and probably this individual, they don't believe that any of the supernatural ways God speaks happens anymore because we have a Bible. So God doesn't speak actively today. Of course, I don't believe that. But I do believe the Lord still speaks through the scripture. It's the number one dependable way to hear from God. You want to hear from God? Open up your Bible. Genesis 1, Deuteronomy 1, Exodus 1, Psalms 1, Acts 1. Come on, somebody. Revelations chapter 1. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. It's in the book. But truth is truth, the spirit of truth is truth and spirit. The Lord speaks to us in black and white, red letter, and he also speaks to us in the spirit. And what he says to us in the spirit will never contradict what the scripture says. But I've known people, because they did not receive a love of the truth, God sent them strong delusion. Brother Bernard preached a great message. I don't know that I've shared it on our family group, but I would encourage you, I will share it. I encourage you to go watch the message. It's one of the most clearly stated message of what we believe concerning doctrine. It was powerful. And at the end of the message, he made a point that some of us, I include myself, truth did not come through my searching. I was born into this truth. And at some point in my life, I reached a point of just all of us have to have this moment where we search for truth. And in my personal quest for truth, I found that what I had been taught in the scripture was true. Now, there's probably a few things that I have heard in Pentecostalism that I found's not biblically true, right? There may be some principle that adds credence to it, but, you know, I've heard some stuff. The way that it was presented was probably not true. The intent was true. The foundation may have been true, but the way it was people make shortcuts to state what is true. For example, some people misunderstand our doctrine concerning speaking in tongues. And they may have heard it. If they didn't hear it, they concluded that We believe, let's see if I can say this, that we believe to be saved, you have to speak in tongues. That's the way they say it. And they'll say, you believe that I've got to speak in tongues to be saved. Well, no, I don't believe you have to speak in tongues to be saved. I believe that when you get saved, you speak in tongues. That's different. And just because you speak in tongues don't mean you are saved. Come on, somebody. Tongues is an evidence initially. And I believe praying in tongues, speaking in tongues, and your personal devotion, it is the gift of communicating to God in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. Come on, somebody. Praying in the Spirit. The Bible says it's the way the Spirit of God prays through us concerning the will of God. Why would God do that? I'm not going to give you a full theological lesson on this, but I believe the Lord has chosen through the agency of flesh to bring His will about in the earth. God has chosen nothing could be done in this earth by His will without the agency of flesh. Proof? God was manifested in the flesh. Why? Because the only way flesh could be saved was through flesh, sinless flesh. And the only way sinless flesh could be manifested is God Himself made Himself a body. And He gave us a perfect example. And ultimately, God shed His blood through the agency of the manifestation of the Messiah. Right? Amen. And in the same way, Jesus brought salvation to the world through the agency of flesh. God is still using the agency of flesh in the person you see in the mirror every day to bring salvation into the world we live in today. And that is a distillation of the importance of us loving the truth. Because truth is the only way anyone will ever be saved. It's not my opinion. It's not my feelings. Come on, somebody. It's not what I think. It's not how good I preach or how bad I preach. It is the fact that when we make ourselves available to the Spirit and the power of God, we are the bridge into the way of life everlasting. Amen. God needs your voice, otherwise some will never hear. God needs your hands, or otherwise no one will ever be touched. It is through the mechanism of flesh that is sanctified in the church that God saves the world. But we must be sure individually and as a church that we love the truth. We love the truth. The truth is the only way anyone can be saved. And what is the truth? It's not your opinion. It's not my opinion. It's not my dad's opinion. It's not his father's opinion. It's not anybody's opinion. It's what does the Word of God say? Amen. Verse 21, who by Him do believe in God that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls, what's it say? In obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of what? Of the brethren. Amen. We need to be sure. You know how you can check yourself? How you check yourself whether you need to pray through or not? Do you love your brother and sister? Amen. And you know what? Sometimes it's possible to love someone you don't like. And the church said amen. You know, there are people that you love. You don't like the way they do things. You don't like the way they pay their bills. You don't like the way they drive. Amen. I was going to look at Brother Ryan, but he's not in here. There's a lot of people love Brother Ryan that don't like the way he drives. Maybe he's in here somewhere. Amen. Purified your souls and obeying the truth unto. How do you obey the truth? In many ways, Our proof of loving the truth is obeying the truth. And sometimes we obey the truth by loving people in the faith that we pray that the Lord will help them to be saved. Come on, somebody. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Now, you know, we see this throughout history. One of the elders that were ordained by the church, there were seven, I believe. Stephen was one of them. He was a man full of faith, man full of the Holy Ghost, was the first martyr of the New Testament church. One of them was a man not by the name of Nicholas. Nicholas ended up having a following, and he taught false doctrine. And it was a doctrine called the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Those that followed Nicholas became Nicolaitans. And the doctrine of Nicholas, or the Nicolaitans, was a doctrine that produced their deeds. And Jesus Christ himself said, I hate the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, and I hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. And you say, well, man, Nicholas is like just the third generation from Jesus. You got Jesus, you have the apostles, and you have Nicholas. I mean, he was chosen by the apostles. He had special miracles were done by these elders, deacons, chosen by the apostles. But he fell prey. And the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, it's my opinion, I believe I could probably prove it to be true, is a form of Gnosticism that essentially is taught that God saves your soul, and so your soul is saved, so it doesn't matter what your flesh does. And so they become very hedonistic, very carnal, and very sensual heathens while claiming their soul was saved, and it didn't matter what they did in their body because their soul, that sounds like, kind of like a doctrine that's here today. My soul is saved. It doesn't matter what my flesh does. Amen. So deceitful workers transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Other examples of this, you see it. I think apostles means that someone's writings and opinions have equal value to the apostles. So whether they claimed it themselves, other people gave them that value so that their writings are attributed to scriptural value. One of those is Martin Luther. You have a Lutheran church. You have John Calvin. You have the Calvinistic Reformed churches. You have Mary Baker Eddy. You have the Church of Christian Science. You have Charles Taze Russell. You have the Jehovah's Witnesses. You have Ellen White, and you have the Seventh-day Adventist. And there have been these false apostles come up through time, and it's deceiving people. But I believe if a person truly loves God, the Lord is obligated to bring them into truth. We heard that just a few weeks ago when Brother Stewart was here. And the Lord brought him from tradition to truth because of his love and relationship with God. God, over a period of 7 years, took him from tradition, filled him with the Holy Ghost, is baptized in Jesus' name. And we must pray for everyone we meet, because ultimately, in my opinion, I believe people are won and come into truth because somebody's praying for them, and the Lord will move upon them. And if they love the truth more than tradition, more than their family, more than approval, more than their flesh, the Lord will bring them into truth. I believe that with my whole heart. Amen. In conclusion, Jude chapter 1, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. This is the spirit of religion. This is the religious spirit. Woe unto them, for they've gone in the way of Cain. I will worship God how I want to. I worship God when I want to. I worship God how I want to. And anyone that disagrees with me, you are my enemy, right? They have ran greedily after the error of Balaam, for reward. There are people. Balaam was a true prophet of God, heard from God, prophesied for God, was greatly gifted of God, but he sold out for the bag. He sold out for money. And there's a lot of people who start out right with God, but for money, for favor, for power, for acclaim, for fame, they will sell out their true devotion to God and will become the enemies of the church. And we've seen this in the apostolic movement. Most often it is in those that are musically gifted. Gifts and talents that were formed in the holy presence of God, they sell it for gold. And they become one of the greatest tools of drawing people out of the truth. And sometimes the only way you can be saved from that siren song is you got to love the truth. Amen. And finally, perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Amen. And I am finished. The gainsaying of Korah, you can go study it and prove it out. Korah was in the priesthood. Korah was respected. Korah, his statement to Moses was that we hear from God too. We have a ministry too. And who do you think you are that I need to listen to what you've got to say? It's the rejection of spiritual authority. And you see God's opinion on those that refuse to submit themselves to other. The Lord caused the earth to swallow them up. Amen? And that is the religious spirit. And I see it all over. Thankfully, I have never experienced that in my ministry in pastoring. But I have heard a few stories. And I think it's very important for us to guard ourselves that we do not woe unto them. I don't want to be a part of them that God says woe unto. Amen? How can I be sure? Keep myself in the truth. Love the truth. Reaffirm our commitment to the truth. And if the Lord allows us to be tempted to be deceived, we need to be sure that we test everything by the Word of God. We need to be willing to submit ourselves to those that God has placed in our life to test what is true. And no matter the cost, I want to be saved. Amen? Father, we love you today. Thy Word is truth. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to recommit myself to the ways of truth, Lord. God, if there's any wicked way in me, if there's anything I believe that is not true, that is harmful, Lord Jesus, that would cause my attitude to be wrong, that would cause my deeds to be wrong, Lord Jesus, I pray that you, oh God, would help me, Lord Jesus, to be in the truth in every area of my life. Open my hearts, Lord. Open my mind, Lord Jesus. Help me, oh God. I want to be saved.